What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals are back at it tonight at Kauffman Stadium. 7:10 first pitch. Vern's on deck show is at 6 o'clock. Michael Wacha on the bump against the Guards. The Royals are 3 under .500. It's been a while since they played a divisional team. It's been a while since they played an American League team. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, a sweep to get them to .500 on Monday. That would
be feeling good on Monday.
It would make the trade deadline that much more interesting. Although I know we talked to Vern yesterday. I don't think what happens in the next six games should suddenly cause them to, let's say right now they're not buying, or however you want to phrase it. The next six games should not change that. I still believe whether they go 6-0 or 5-1 or 2-4, they should be willing, if there's legit multiple years of control outfielder out there, they should pull the trigger on that. Now, we'll talk more about it. There's a ton of speculation about Duran, and the Padres reportedly maybe offered a trade, and it was looked like a pretty good package, including Dylan Cease, Ethan Solis, or whatever, their catching prospect, and somebody else, and they reportedly rejected that.
Quickly.
So if that's true, then the Royals would have to probably give up Lugo, Mitchell, and
maybe Frank Mazzucato,
a young
maybe
pitching
somebody else.
Prospect yeah. or something.
Just depends on which level they'd be interested in. Next up on What's Trending, more reports out from camp today. Looks like Omar Norman Lott got some more time with the ones. Noah Williams got a little time with the ones as well. No major injuries to report. Pretty standard day at camp. Obviously, no fans were allowed there. We'll talk to our guy, Nate Taylor, about what he saw coming up here in just a couple of minutes. And of course, we'll get a chance to get him in pads on Sunday.
Yeah, and our training camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time. Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Thinking of training camp, remember yesterday all the concern around Justin Fields? Adam Schefter sends out a tweet that says, Justin Fields carted off the practice field of the locker room, lower leg injury.
That was a pretty serious
headline. Then we learned it was a dislocated toe. Today, great news for the Jets. Justin Fields back at practice like nothing ever happened.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Thank goodness. But yes.
Okay. Like, let's think about the way we send tweets. Carted off the field with a lower leg injury.
Makes it sound like he tore his ACL.
Yeah. Better make sure he tore something. Next up on What's Trending, Kansas coach Bill Self has been hospitalized last night. Undergoes a heart procedure after experiencing some concerning symptoms. Had multiple stents put in, according to reports yesterday. Kansas themselves sent out a release.
Yes.
That they're taking place at Lawrence Memorial Hospital. Said he will, or is expected to, make a full recovery. He's in good spirits and expects to be released from the hospital soon.
Yes.
Self is 62 years old.
Yeah, scary stuff, obviously. It's twice in the last 2.5-3 years or so. He's had a health emergency, health concern. And we'll talk again about it, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, he's never said he was going to coach till he's 75 or something anyway. And now you have some health things come up. We can get into it more, whether or not we think that there's more than a year or two left in his coaching tenure at Kansas. Lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget, coming up on Friday, August 8th, we will be out at Hollywood Casino. We will be there. The Drive will be there as well from the Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Omenihu football, plus a pair of Chiefs Colts tickets.
Sweet.
Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X, and enter their giveaway on August 7th. That'll get you a chance to win $100 pin cash when we're there on the 8th every hour from 10
to
6. Yeah, I don't
think
we can. I don't think we can. I don't think we can win, Cody. I don't think that's how that works.
They can put it all on 15.
They can.
You know?
They can definitely do that. That's what's
trending. I'm still mad at Drew for not putting it on 13 when we were in Vegas. Oh. We were talking all the Taylor Swift stuff. He was talking about it. I can't believe we didn't all put it on 13.
Yeah, we will be in Vegas as well. We got a couple shows in casinos in the month of August. I'm looking forward to that.
See all that at Circa as well.
That's right.
We'll tell you more about that.
We'll have to get our guy Nate Taylor out to one of these at some point. I don't know if Nate Taylor's been to Circa or Hollywood or not, but yes, he has. Yeah, just for a few trips. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, joins us from St. Joe after a practice that ended up taking place outdoors. But how weird was that? No fans or anything?
It was kind of excruciating, guys. And no, I haven't been to Circa, so I've heard great things. Looking forward to doing that. I guess relatively soon, but. Yeah, a bit of confusion.
Right, I'm going to put him on hold there. Let's try to see. Sorry, Drew. Let's see if they can get that phone worked out. That was going to drive everybody crazy for 5 or 10 minutes, I think. So we'll try to.
We're just going to try to get
reconnected.
Just go to a different corner, Nate.
Come. I mean,
sometimes it's just a quick movement. That's all.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if he's in the dorms. If he's outside, if he's in the vehicle, he's walking around Mo West or what's going on. We'll get a better connection.
You just got to
from Nate to talk about. But yes, they practice with no fans, man. That's just a weird feeling trying to take in practice when there's no, I'm sure the energy level wasn't the same even for the players, I would bet, to a certain extent. I know they practice all the time without fans in a normal season, but for camp, they're used to having fans that kind of keep you going as well. I would have thought Nate Taylor, Mr. ESPN, would have a nicer phone by now.
Wow.
And everything.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I blame the connection via Missouri Western State, honestly. You know, I'm outside, so that could be, I thought, hey, being outside would be a little bit easier. And I get to walk a little bit. But no, like, today was kind of eerie, ominous in some ways. Thankfully, no one got hurt, because I'm always worried about, like, practices that are not open to the public during training camp. Like, there's always that, like, that grim reaper right around the corner, and you're just like, please, nobody get hurt. So thankfully, today was relatively smooth, but it is weird to come up here and to not hear a single thing. Like, in a weird way, you can hear the players more today, but please, guys, we need thousands. We need a sell-out crowd for Sunday's practice that will include the first pads, the first real contact, the actual, like, football is right around the corner signal of guys hitting pads and, playing a more traditional style of football, as we get this thing really going. I feel like training camp really starts on Sunday.
Is that going to be bigger for anyone other than Joshua Simmons, who looks like he's probably already, probably won the job and looks like a physical freak when people aren't in pads? But if it just translates to we're in pads and his knee doesn't bother them, then he's just going to have that locked down and we move forward, right?
I don't know if it'll be that easy, but think about this, guys. He's done pretty well, though. They did some one-on-ones today, and he kind of, got taught some lessons by George Karloftis. So you're like, hey, that's why we do this, young fellow. That's why we do one-on-one drills before we get to the pads. Now, the question I have is not about Sunday. My question for Josh Simmons is, how does he hold up Monday and especially Tuesday if Andy Reid, per his choice, wants to go three straight days in pads? And that has happened in recent years where Andy just says, yeah, we're going to get you real sore, real beat up, and we're going to see if you can handle sort of the mental burden, the physical burden, the fact that it's hot outside, that you hate your teammate by now. That's kind of by design. So how he does on Monday and Tuesday, if they are in pads, really will tell, I believe, the story of Josh Simmons and how far he's really come in terms of not just making this a competition now, but, hey, maybe having a nice sizable lead before we get to, like, the preseason games, right? So, again, you're not going to see Juwan Taylor for the next week or so. That's totally fine. It's actually really nice of him, as I've said before. But I think the other player you have to look for, and we did chat with him today, is Omar Norman Lott, who is no gruff, all business, has some dry humor to him. I'm already in love because they've really pushed him into the rotation with the starters. And it's like, hey, man, if you could just challenge Creed Humphrey, if you can just challenge, Trey Smith, two of the best interior, offensive linemen in the league, then, yeah, it shows that you're on a nice little track, too, to maybe have a more sizable impact than we could have anticipated when they drafted him. So the fact that they've let Mike Pinnell just, hey, Mike Pinnell's done this for a decade. I don't need to see him this mm-hmm. entire month. What I need to see is Omar Norman Lott really demonstrate just how quick, how powerful, some of the pass rushing moves he's starting to develop now, and the fact that, hey, this is the one player I think so far that Steve Spagnuolo says, okay, like, I want to see what we got, and you might play sooner than I'm normally playing rookie defensive tackles at this point in my career, how I run, my system.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, of course, also over at ESPN up in St. Joe, another practice in the books. And as he said, pads on Sunday. So maybe this is not a question you have an answer to until after that. But today, backfield wise, I saw some reports that it looked like Elijah Mitchell got reps over Kareem Hunt. How do you see that battle? That seems like the running back battle, if there is one.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Kareem has the advantage. It felt like today was, hey, Kareem got a lot of work yesterday. Now it's your turn. It just so happens you are going to talk to reporters today, so we might as well see what you got. So I think there's a little bit of that. Here's what bothers me. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to use a fullback this year, and that's interesting because who we didn't really see is Carson Steele. And I don't know what that means if Elijah Mitchell, you know, has a smooth, you know, introduction into the Chiefs offense. When it comes to the preseason game, which is faster than you think, ladies and gentlemen, I do think they're probably going to give more snaps to Elijah Mitchell because they understand they have to manage Kareem Hunt's body, even though Kareem Hunt is more prepared to play football this year, given the fact that he's not coming off a surgery in the offseason and he's had a full training camp, a full offseason, you know, back with the team. So I still think it's Pacheco, Hunt, then you get to, like, Elijah Mitchell. Obviously, you drafted Mr. Smith in the seventh round, but I don't know what's going to happen with Carson Steele because he's kind of been the forgotten man this first week before we put the pads on. Maybe he reappears, but I still think that depth chart is pretty rock solid right now from a running back standpoint. And the question then becomes, and I know you guys were talking about this earlier, hey, do you keep three, do you keep four just to give yourself better protection with the injury? Obviously, Rashee Rice will be expected to be suspended after his legal situation has been mostly resolved in Dallas. So, okay, if you're keeping four running backs, does that involve Carson Steele, or does Carson Steele maybe you try to retain him back to the practice squad?
Looking at the rest of the roster, I am curious, since we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes here in just a second. We announced Camp Island yesterday. We did our first official elimination. Jaquarius Spivey unfortunately didn't make it. Nate, because we don't do eliminations when we're not at camp, double
right.
Elimination on Monday.
Ooh.
Who do you think's at risk? Breshard Smith, Jared Wiley, Elijah Mitchell still on my team. Thornton, Brinning, Stuhl, and Omar Norman Lott on Drew's. And then Gold still has Jalen Royals and Noel Williams.
Ooh, this is all very good.
It's going to be a tough double elimination on Monday, I'm going to say.
Could be a tough double elimination. Now, look, Jared Wiley's coming off an ACL. He is not expected to just blow our minds like he did last year. So I think by default, he kind of is on the bottom end of the list, but that doesn't mean he's not
he's
doing
the
well. It's impressive that he's even out here running routes, catching the ball. Thankfully, his knee looks to be, you know, pretty strong. Obviously, I'm falling in love with Omar Norman Lott. I think the biggest winner so far, if you were to give this person immunity for Monday or Tuesday, that would be Tyquan Thornton. It's a wrap, guys. Healthy, he keeps playing the way he's been playing at practice. He is on the roster. He is a legitimate outside receiver. He is, and I've asked, you know, I think add Tyquan Thornton to the roster in, like, December. You know, he's not going to play. But the whole point was, like, can you be better than Justin Watson? Or can you be a different version of Justin Watson from what we've seen over the last couple of years? Well, through the first week of camp, he's proven it. I don't need to see any more outside of just, hey, let's see it in the pass. Let's see it in the preseason game. You're a veteran receiver. Mahomes, I think, really, really likes him. So I think you give him the immunity. Norman Ormelot, safe. Jalen Royals, safe. Elijah Mitchell, safe. Who was on your list again, Cody? Who's on your team?
So, Breshard Smith, Jared Wiley, who we already mentioned, is at risk. And then I thought Noel Williams, just because Spag said that, you know, it was working a little fast for him. But then he ran with the ones today. So,
Spags is all giggles at this point. Nothing matters to him. It's so funny. Like, it's so funny. And I want to make this clear. Like, Steve Spagnuolo, one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time, just throwing things at the wall, just having fun, just playing giggles. Like, huh, they ran a blitz today, and I can't really describe it for, you know, security reasons of my own life. And
yeah, Harbaugh listens to our show, so does Sean Payton, and so does Pete Carroll.
Yeah. They ran a blitz today where I was just like, I mean, I guess we'll see that in week 13, but, like, come on, coach, what is that? And Patrick had to throw the ball away. So, you know, it's fun. They're, you know, hey, we're throwing some people into the mix. Hey, Christian, why don't you just play edge for the next hour? You know, just because you can. Just because we might as well do it. Hey, give Jalen Moore a look at DN. So it's just this whole month for Steve Spagnuolo is, that looks interesting. Hey, I might want to save that for October 15th. Let me write that down. I think for Noel Williams, it's fine. I'm not worried about him. You know, the big guy that you would circle in the secondary is Jaden Hicks, and I imagine Jaden Hicks will try to murder someone on Sunday. And they're going to have to remind him, hey, man, that's your teammate. That's your teammate. Please don't send him to the training tent. So I'm okay with no Williams, but I do think I would say Jared Wiley just he's not getting a ton of reps, and that's fine. And all these other guys are, you know, not coming off an ACL injury.
If he makes a great catch, don't forget, if the Chiefs send out a social media video with your name in it, you are immune from elimination that day. Might not save him forever, Nate, but it could save him for a little bit. I do want to ask you about Felix Anudike-Uzomah, partially because the text line was accusing Drew of giving up on K-State and saying he's not welcome in Manhattan. It said, I'm also not welcome in Manhattan because of my constant criticism of Felix Anudike-Uzomah. I've heard you mention a lot of different defensive linemen. I have not heard you mention FAU. Where are they in his development, or is that not part of the conversation anymore versus rotational defensive linemen who will get his snaps, but that's it?
He's on the team, guys. He's on the roster. You can put it in pen, but I ain't got no notes, guys. I'm sorry. There's just so much through these first 4 days. His name ain't really came up, dog. I'm sorry. You know, hey, I will be obviously giving you great detail on Sunday and Monday because those are the first 2 days in pads. We'll see if Andy's a psychopath and gives them pads for their third day. Hey, man, I got more notes on Jerry Tillery and Ashton Gelati. And, ooh, look at Charles Omenihu. That's right. I've never seen him in this setting for training camp because he's always either been coming off of an injury. Ooh, okay. Obviously, falling in love with Omar Norman Lott. Who? Felix? Yeah. I give, you know what? I'll give you a note on Felix next week. But right, I have we'll no it. Notes on Felix this week.
Cody,
that's not
will
a bad
be,
thing. That's not a bad thing. It's just,
he's just there.
I'm waiting for the text line to say Nate's not welcome in Manhattan either now.
Oh, well, hey guys, I don't go to Manhattan.
Dang.
What do I got to do to be over here? Hey, look. I live in Kansas. I'm doing just fine. Obviously, go Central Missouri Mules and Jennies. Obviously, that's the alma mater. Shout out to them. I can go to Warrensburg. Why would I want to go to Manhattan? I want to go to
you
the
said it, not
direction.
Me. You said it, not me. Nate Taylor.
Hey, guys. Manhattan? It's fine. Here's the problem, guys. I didn't do this. This happened on its own, okay? I don't need to go to Manhattan because I'm trying to convince my child who has chosen to be a Kansas Jayhawk, hey, bud, when you get older, it's less than an hour away from home. And you know what's not less than an hour from home if you go to college? Manhattan, Kansas.
You're trying to keep your kid close.
Yeah, man. Any parent who's going through this, it's crazy. We're more than halfway there. He's almost 10, guys. And
you're five years away from a permit.
Hey, man, look, they got it. They're building a new stadium over there. I think, you know, Bill Self will be fine. You know, I think the team's going to be really good this year. Yeah, I'll take you to Allen Fieldhouse. And you know what? Look at how cool this place is. And, like, you know, culture, diversity, coolness, like, we don't need to go to Manhattan. We just
damn.
Don't. I'm sorry.
He's trying to keep his game close, man.
Nate Taylor from ESPN. We appreciate it.
Do you want to go see it? You want to go to Central Missouri? We can go to Central Missouri. Hey, you know what? This is where mom and dad were back in the day. And you know what? That's closer than Manhattan.
He can take class with me at UMKC, Nate. He can be real close.
Hey, you know what? You can just stay in the city. You can just do that, you know?
Take the streetcar.
They got a lot of good programs, you know? Hey, you can just either he's got to stay close or he's got to freaking go to, like, the University of Minnesota. One of the two. But what we not going to do is probably go to Manhattan. If I had any say in it.
Nate Taylor. From
you're
ESPN.
Fine, Drew. I took the.
Yeah,
took
you
the,
did.
You took the
I'm
year before you. Drew's innocent
you,
now.
You took a flamethrower to Manhattan, is what you did. Nate Taylor is going to join us throughout camp, throughout the season. Obviously, our Chiefs insider.
I got nothing against Manhattan. Look, I just talk about one player.
I want to be very clear. as the KU grad on this show, I didn't say anything bad about Manhattan right there. That was all Drew.
Have you been
Cody,
to Manhattan? Hey, I didn't say anything about Manhattan.
That was all Nate
Taylor.
All I'm
talking about is FAU.
In fairness, Cody and I have not said anything bad about Manhattan. I had a great time when I went to the game against Troy a couple years ago. I had a great time.
No, you were asking me, have I been to Manhattan? Absolutely, I have been. And I actually enjoyed my time there. I did. Lawrence is way better, but I enjoyed my time there. Yeah. Anyway.
Good
time. He's going to let his kid consider K-State.
That's wild. Anyway, let's get to a story out east because this is absolutely ridiculous. You guys may have seen it because it's made some national headlines. This New Jersey Little Leaguer got suspended because he did a bat flip. Okay, so here's the context. A 12-year-old Little Leaguer obviously is now very distraught at the idea that he's going to miss his team's first state baseball tournament. And he hit a game-winning home run. Okay, he's 12 years old. He hits a game-winning home run. He flips the bat. He didn't taunt the opponent. He didn't go in their face. He flips his bat like we obviously see. And his name is Marco Rocco, which is, I mean, just
Marco Rocco.
From New Jersey. It's great.
New Jersey kid named Marco Rocco.
It's incredible. But he tossed his bat in the air on July 16th after a sixth inning two-run homer in the final of the sectional tournament. First, he was called out because of that. But on appeal, the runs counted. He got ejected and suspended for a game over what the family was told were actions deemed unsportsmanlike in horseplay. Now his family has gone to court to seek an emergency temporary restraining order that will allow him to play in the state tournament that starts, I think, yesterday. So I don't know if we have a conclusion on this yet or not. This is crazy. I understand we want to promote sportsmanship. I totally do, and it's very important.
Why can't kids bat flip? But why can't kids rub it in other kids' faces sometimes?
Okay, well, that wasn't what I was going to say. But the sportsmanship part is important. Flipping your bat, he didn't flip it at an opponent. He didn't go in the opponent's face.
That's true.
These are 12-year-old kids. Let them do a bat flip. It's all right. This is crazy.
I guess the argument is that that's showing someone up just like anything else. Why are you banning bat flips? Like in an AAU tournament for 12-year-olds, do you ban like the three goggles? This to me is the difference between what you're saying, the sportsmanship part and being a good teammate. I'm not saying don't shake hands.
Sure.
You don't have to talk trash. That's just celebrating. This is like when the NFL briefly got rid of group celebrations for touchdowns. Why?
Oh, there's an update an hour ago.
Why?
By the way, there's an update as of an hour ago. We were going to get to this yesterday and then we moved it to today. Update as of an hour ago, I just saw a news story. He has been cleared after being suspended initially. So they have corrected what I think was a complete mess in a wrong situation.
Someone said, don't blame
there.
The umpire. It's like, I'm not trying to blame the umpire, but sometimes as an umpire, you could just let something go. Like, I understand that, like, it's technically a rule and you're like, he's enforcing the rule. If the other coach...
People are split on this in the text line, though, man. Someone said
if the
flipping
other
coach
come up to me and said something, I'd be like, come on, man.
Someone said flipping your bats, 100% taunting. It's unnecessary. The youth have absolutely gone crazy with taunting and talking trash. It's horrible. Someone else said, I would yank my daughter out of the game instantly if she does something even remotely like a bat flip. So there's some parents that are chiming in and say
real?
They don't want their kid to do the bat flip.
I don't have any issue with my kid doing a bat flip.
Even if you want, like, even if I'll play the game here for a second. Even if I'm going to say, you know what, I agree, right? Fine, no bat flip. Do you guys agree, though, your kid shouldn't be thrown out of the game and suspended the next week? Like, we can say, as a parent, you should go, if you want to talk to your son or daughter after, like, hey, we don't do that. You're not, you want to punish them, you don't bat flip. But why is the league
suspending? We're
kicking suspending?
Them out of youth sports because they did one bat flip.
That would be my only argument. Like, if you as a parent, look, if you just don't want your kid doing
I'm
it.
I'm a parent,
by all
kid.
Means,
yeah.
Do that, right? That's your own call and everything. You want them to handle it a different way. Makes sense. But why is there a rule in this New Jersey Little League? And maybe, by the way, I don't have kids, you do. Is this a rule in every Little League? I don't know.
My kids don't play Little League baseball yet. Desmond did get his first invite, I think, to like go play because we spent a bunch of time with a friend.
I just don't think the suspension part is nuts. Like, maybe you just don't want your kid doing it, but like, why are we suspending him?
I don't think a kid should sit on the field and tell another kid like, wow, you stink, after he strikes him out or anything outside of that. But I don't think, Gold, I genuinely do not think they should get tossed from the game and instead this should be a parenting thing.
This isn't an 18-year-old, 16-year-old. It's a 12-year-old kid.
Also, if they're 18, even more reason why they should be allowed to have that level of competitiveness. I understand. Dude, there was a clip the other day I watched. Because, like, parts of it have gotten out of hand. There was a clip the other day of some guy was playing, like, Call of Duty. But he was letting his, like, 8-year-old little brother be on the headset.
Okay.
And so he's playing Call of Duty, and he's a very good gamer. So, like, the older brother is dominating. And the guy on the other side of this is being like, I mean, the stuff he's saying to what is an 8.
Oh, it gets nasty.
He doesn't know.
It gets nasty.
He doesn't know that the other guy there, far as he knows, he's just talking to bunch of crazy trash to an 8-year-old, and you're like, dude, be cool. We don't have to take it that far, but it does feel like more of a parenting thing.
Fortunately, the suspension was taken away, and you know, yeah, just warn the kid next time if it's actually against the rules in this league. Be like, tell the coach and have the coach warn the kid. Like, that's if we're really going to go down this path. So glad to see that he's allowed to play in his, I think it's state title or state regional or whatever it is.
What we're not going to do is probably go to Manhattan.
Jeez. Up next, thinking of baseball, another name mentioned that the Royals potentially could be interested in. We'll tell you who that is and the random question of the day right here on 96.5 The Fan.
I had to do this, guys.
You playing K-State fight song?
Well, now we've gone too far.
I felt so sorry for the city of Manhattan after what Nate just did to... After what Nate just said.
Is it sacrilegious to say that all fight songs sound exactly the same? You could tell me some Michigan.
Some are similar. Not all. Some yes. are very similar.
They all sound the same.
No. I mean, there's some are very similar. I don't know if they all sound. There's definitely some.
If you heard Rocky Top, I think you would know that it's, you know.
Can I hear it?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think you're overestimating my recognizing.
Well, some are very
be
similar.
Be prepared for this song to also be in your head the rest of the day. I'm just
Which
saying.
Which one? The K-State one or Rocky Top?
No, Rocky Top. Just wait till I play it. It's going to be
amazing. What would be really funny for Drew is if he played a completely different school and I was just like, oh, yeah, sure. Rocky Top. It's like, that's not. That was actually Duke's fight song. So, this doesn't sound any different than the last one.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Come. Cody thinks just because there any trombones being played and stuff is the same thing.
No, this is not going to get. This has never gotten stuck in anyone's head. You're making it sound like.
It's one of the more famous. It is one of the more famous fight songs.
Party in the USA, and this is going to be stuck in my head the rest of the day.
Mac's going to be mad with you. Mac's Mr. Tennessee.
Yeah. Rocky Top. Woo! Oh, yeah.
Sounds pretty similar.
Oh, hater. Just hating today.
They sound kind of the same.
Some are similar. Those two do not sound like there's other ones that those two are not nearly the same.
I think you need to immerse yourself in more college football. I think
here's
you,
what it
you,
is.
You have to.
I think this to me, honestly, I think I know what this is. I think I know what this is. This is Cody. You went to UMKC. Oh. You didn't have a football program.
No, we
you didn't go to a ton of like school, like athletic events, like
a lot of basketball.
But you called the games. You weren't there as a student. I think if you were as a student going to athletic events, I think at a bigger school, I don't mean any offense by that, but like at a bigger school, I think you would have understood the fight song thing a little bit more.
So I went and I searched on YouTube, UMKC fight song. All I am getting are UCLA fight songs. There's not even a UMKC.
Rocky Top is one of the, like, if you were to do top five fight songs in sports, Rocky Top would be in the top five.
Give me, Harold Kuntz just said, never play Rocky Top again. He went to Vanderbilt.
Wow, well, yeah, he's a Vandy guy.
Play me Vanderbilt's fight song. I want to see if it sounds any different
than
the two we've listened to this point.
Oh, no.
And we'll help Harold out. Give me Vanderbilt's fight song.
I think Harold should call in and also sing along with it. Just give me a
This is about to be Vandy?
This is going to
be
Vanderbilt.
When it comes up. Hang on. I gotta wait for an ad.
Very similar.
Vandy at least is in Nashville, so I'll give them that.
You'd think they'd have good music then. You'd think they'd have the song. You think they have the song stuff on point.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd have it down. This is exactly the same. These are exactly the same. This sounds like they all sound the same.
I think Rocky Top's is
Rocky Top's is
that one
was
more different than this one in the first one.
Rocky Top's a classic. This is just a normal fight song.
Some people agree with me on the text line for what it's worth. They say they do kind of sound the same. Plus, our guy Harold gets his Vanderbilt fight song.
There you go.
Coming up,
and they always go, huh, 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 or yeah, yeah, yeah. They do the same chant all in the same thing.
It is a fight song.
It's all the same song.
It is a fight song.
Careful, you're going to start sounding like the Texas A&M
Cody,
people.
What's UMKC's fight song?
That's what I said.
See, this is the point. I think this is why you're hating too. I think this is why you're hating a little bit.
If you also heard Michigan's, if you heard "Hail to the Victors," you would know that that's Michigan's.
I didn't know that was Tennessee, so I definitely would not know Michigan's.
Yes, you okay. Hey,
Drew,
do you mind if I look it up real quick? I'm not doing this to pick on it.
Had you played Tennessee's fight song and said, "Whose fight song is this?" I 100% would not have gotten that right. There's just no chance I would have gotten that right.
You don't like the pageantry of college sports.
Well, they're ruining that too. They've decided to get rid of that part. They decided to throw that to the wayside. They don't even care anymore. So why should I? Oh, this one does sound. Wait, I thought this was Notre Dame's.
Oh. This is also a top five iconic. This is a top five. This is a top fiver.
I'm not kidding. Had you played this, I'd have been like, oh, this is the Notre Dame one, right?
They're rivals with Michigan. That doesn't go over
well. This is a top five.
I hope my dad's not listening to, because he'd be like, what? Cody, no way.
That's serious.
Vern's going to be very upset with you about this, too.
I've
heard this one. But I thought it was the Notre Dame one. Does the Notre Dame one sound like that one, or does it sound different? Don't play that one, bud.
So I'll be honest, I don't know what Notre Dame's fight song sounds like. So
someone says
like
Michigan, Mizzou, KU, Texas, all the same. Are there some that overlap and sound the same? 100%.
Yeah, gold agreed there.
But the one we just heard is way different than the other ones. But yeah, there are some that are very similar. I think Florida's is pretty decent too. But anyway,
why'd you guys just play the same four songs in a row?
coming up in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're gonna have a new benchmark. It's gonna be Cody. You need to guess this fight song.
Yeah, that's 20 minutes away from Fan Club Friday. Fan Club Friday is presented by Circus Sports. We, of course, will be out in Las Vegas coming up a little bit later on in August out there for their big contest weekend. We'll tell you more about it during Fan Club Friday. Also, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow, I will be out at Omaha Steaks for their grand opening at the fountains over there at Overland Park. That's off 119th, just east of Metcalf between Glenwood and Lamar. Omaha Steaks grand opening. You're right there near the PGA Superstore. The first 500 customers will win autographed Chiefs gear or tasty Omaha Steaks prizes worth up to $199, plus enjoy free samples, get a pick with Casey Wolf, Chiefs cheerleaders. We'll have some stuff to give away. Hope to see you guys out there. I'll be at Omaha Steaks from 1 to 4. Get geared up, man. Get some stuff to put on the grill for the weekend. Hope to see you guys there.
Who doesn't like steak on the weekend? I don't know what the weather is supposed to be like, but nice. Let's just assume nice for that sake. The Royals obviously start a big series against the Guardians this weekend for the players. For us, we can have our own opinion as host or as fans or where this team is. You can have a varied opinion on that. But for a team that is trying to make it difficult on the organization in any sale capacity, even the small ones, like what we think could happen kind of no matter what in trading Seth Lugo, a team that is 2.5 games ahead of you, you're 4.5 games of a playoff spot, this is an American League team. This matters. Yet another team, yet another player has come up in the possible trade talks if the Royals are buyers. Now, he does fit your requirement and our requirement, which is if you buy, I would like the ability to have more than 1 year of control.
I don't want a rental.
But it's fringe. The most recent name that has come up in trade talks for the Royals as a possible fit, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., the former Toronto Blue Jay, now Arizona Diamondback. They're selling their whole ass
Five
team.
Or six players might be traded. They already traded, Naylor last night to the Mariners.
Yeah, and Eugenio's going any second, I think, to a multitude of teams who could end up landing him. And Gurriel Jr. is apparently another guy on the block. He's hitting .245 this year with a .295 on base percentage and a .701 slug. Not good, much better than they're getting out of the outfield position themselves, though. 12 home runs, 48 RBI, and 25 walks. He's been better than that in his career. He's 31 years old.
That's...
And while he does have control, it is technically his control.
Player option next year.
It is a player option next year and a team option the year after that. Neither of which is a huge contract number. And I don't think it will cost. Here's the other part. I think he will pick up the player option because I don't think he's going to get more money on the free agency. So I do think you have control. And he's not a terribly expensive player, but is this the guy you want to help your outfield?
A few things. One, I would almost need some assurance that he would pick up the player option.
Like he's going to tell you he's picking it up?
I would almost need, I don't know, exactly how that works.
It's a $13 million player option. You just ask him.
Yeah,
I mean, you can be honest.
I would want some assurance in what he's thinking about that. The other part of it is, while the numbers don't stand out and it's not as exciting as going and getting Duran from Boston for multiple years of control and all that, who's the better player at this point in time in their career, but the cost to acquire should be far less. Like, what's it going to take to get him? Because we know for Duran, like it's going to take Lugo, Blake Mitchell, and more. For Uriel, what are we talking? Are we talking Lorenzen with somebody else? We talking two prospects that are like your ninth and your 15th?
They don't want Lorenzen.
No, it's throwing out names, but...
My guess is that it would take maybe you give up Steven Zoback and, like you mentioned, number 30, Hunter Owen. I don't care. Just choose another name down the list. Chandler Champlain is currently the 30th ranked prospect and in AAA. Probably something like that. Yeah. It's not going to be any of the names. It's not going to be Kaderna or Jensen or Mitchell or any of the guys they just drafted. It'll be the people further down.
Let's put it this way. Durant is kind of my dream trade. I could see them just ending up with this. that's kind of how I think it could play out.
I'm definitely in the Durant is my dream acquired player for the Royals. Tons of years of control, cheap-ish, considering Major League Baseball, has put up massive numbers in at least 1 year in the major leagues.
The argument for Uriel would be, or Gurriel would be, all right, I'm not having, if I'm convinced, if and I wouldn't do this, but if you're the Royals and you're saying, all right, we're only trading Lugo for Duran, nobody else, we don't like it, nobody else is available, yada, yada. So we're keeping Seth Lugo, which I think would be a mistake, but let's say they say we're keeping Lugo, but we still want to find a bat for this year and next year. This would be the trade because it wouldn't require a Lugo involvement.
And it wouldn't require any of your big time prospects, so you could still hold on to them in case you need to make a move. The other thing is, like, you do need cost control somewhere, Gold. If you're going to solve some of your problems in the offseason, if you're going to acquire another pitcher because you let Seth Lugo go, if you're going to acquire a corner outfield bat because you're still truly short in that category unless Jack Caglione starts really mashing during the set. And even then, you only have one of the two corner outfield positions shored up. But the thing is, like, next year, catcher, third, short, first, and second are technically under contract, right? I mean, you're good. You got Vinny, India, Bobby, and Michael ready to roll back in next year. And you got cost control on a couple of those guys. Vinny and Michael cost you nothing. Salvador Perez is like a $13 million player option or team option. So that, by all consideration, is not terribly expensive. So you're okay there. You're going to need more than one outfielder next year. And if you could get Gurriel for the cost control portion of it, for a player that's probably not going to break through, especially a pitcher where I think their depth is right now in the upper levels, if they'll just take, honestly, Gold, if they take like a Chandler Champlain type, like a guy who's in AAA who might make some big league starts for you but might not, I'd be pretty quick on that. Or Zoback, I'd be pretty quick on a move like that at the right price. But this would feel like selling yourself short. What I really want to do is what you said. I want to go get a Durant. I want to go get like a real
corner. Different stratosphere.
I'm not trying to get Hunter Renfro Jr.
Yeah, just those trades though are just in different stratospheres. I mean, terms of the what you have to give up and the type of player you're getting back. Those are not on the same level of trade. I mean, there's an argument to be made you could make both, Cody, and have your outfield figured out for the next year, couple years, you know, like that. There's an argument that you why wouldn't you do both those trades? Honestly,
yeah. I mean, again, their infield is set. Michael has multiple years of control. Vinny has, they both have like 4 years left with this team of control. Bobby Wood Jr. is under contract till 2030 for this team. Like, and Jonathan Indy has got at least one more year. Like, and Salvi, his replacement's already in the minor league system in either Carter Jensen or Blake Mitchell. So you're not worried about anything that's happening in the infield, I think, for at least 3 years. And that's if you gave nobody an extension and didn't even bother with it, right? You're probably okay there. So, like, the question is, can you upgrade in center? Can you upgrade in left? And then the hope is still, you're not looking for an upgrade in right. You just assume, and I think as an organization you have to do this, that Jack Caglione's going to hit. We'll just give that one time. He's going to hit. We'll give him time on that one, and we won't worry too much.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question today is brought to you by KC Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. So there's something else we're going to get to. I almost made it the random question, but we'll get to it during a fan club, which we weren't planning on having fan club today because we don't normally have it in studio. But we are in studio, so we'll crack open some of the leftover forehand stuff that Jeremy Danner brought last week and have a little fan club and talk through some of this other stuff. Very simple city-related question. It was announced yesterday that the streetcar extension to UMKC will be open starting in late October. So you can take it...
October 24th, I think.
Yeah, so you can start it. You can take it from the city market all the way to UMKC, including some details like it's going to go faster on the UMKC stretch. I'm going to take it up to like 30 miles an hour, and the spots will be spread out a little bit more. But you'll be able to take it city market to UMKC. The question I have for you...
I love how you're phrasing it as like as if people are taking it to UMKC, as if like that's the attraction.
No, that's just one stop.
They're taking it from the plaza to downtown is what they're doing. They're not, the idea that like everybody's flocking to UMKC because of the streetcar.
No, that's just where it ends.
No, it's basically...
That's where
you
it
can,
ends.
It's basically you can go from the plaza to the river
plaza
market.
Plaza would be the more popular spot. I'm just saying...
I'm
like,
just giving you a hard time.
That's where they take it to. Yeah. It actually should... I guess it could be good for the university.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd have to ask them. I don't know.
That's great. You can go to KC Current games too.
Yeah, the public transit getting you from like KC Current or from if you're a UMKC student to the KC Current.
You play the
area.
Fight song on the whole entire stretch.
Yeah, whatever it is.
yeah.
Yeah. I teach there. I should really
You really should.
Out.
Figure that one out, man.
I'll make this my...
Play that your first day in class for all the students.
The UMKC fight song?
Yeah.
I teach two classes a semester, too. I'm in trouble. I got to teach two different classes.
Sorry. What's the question?
The question I have for you today is, what is, in the next couple of years, the likelihood you utilize the streetcar now that it is extended? I wanted to make this a city question. I'm going to be on it more, I think, because it does take me to more places I can park and ride from City Market in about a 10-minute drive. And if I want to go out, let's say I want to go out to the Plaza Gold, have a couple of cocktails. Well, I don't want to have to not, you know, I don't want to, like, figure out the ride. Sometimes it's cheaper than, it's certainly cheaper than an Uber, even if I'm a park and ride. The fact that now it's extended, I wish it'd go further and further. So I am more likely now to use it. I'm curious if you guys are.
Yeah, so for me, the time that I would use it would probably be if I said, hey, I don't want to deal with parking at a KC Current game.
But you could park so near I'll, UMKC.
I'll park at the, UMKC, the Plaza, whatever, and I will take the streetcar the entire way. Admittedly, I would love to do it one time to see, like, how long does it truly take, though? Because while it sounds great not having to pay for parking, how long is it going to take me on the streetcar line, though, after a Current game to get all the way back to the Plaza? I don't know the answer to that yet. It's something I want to try. That would be the time I think I would utilize it. Other than that, I don't know how much I'll do it. What I like it for the city. I like it for the fact it's going to be ready by the World Cup when people come to our city. I like it for people that visit to have that opportunity for transportation. We know the city lacks public transportation and it needs it badly. And streetcar is one step in that direction of improving it. And so it's cool to finally, for those of you that travel on Main Street, I'm sure you're thrilled that that's about to finally be done. The construction that's been going on for, I don't know, 4 years or whatever it's been.
It does take a long time.
I just don't think together. Other than like it's in my daily routine, there's no need for it. But that just depends on where you live in town.
Somebody says it's more of a novelty. They don't think that if for a majority of folks, it doesn't work unless there's a larger rail system. Look, no argument on the sense that if you want good public transit in a city, you need a larger rail system. That's certainly not the argument.
Yeah, give me that rail from Overland Park to KCI and I'm in, baby. Let's go. That only costs about $3 trillion to figure that out.
Chicago. Yeah. It's getting dangerously close to connecting me from my current neighborhood to the neighborhood I used to live in. Like, I spent a lot of time in Waldo and still like some of the businesses in that area. I'm not that much further once you start getting to the Plaza from there. And if it's coming all the way to KC Current Stadium, I can get there in 10, 12 minutes, probably gold. From my place. So, like, I like the ability to, like, make it a destination and go without it. Right now, it feels more like a novelty before I can get all the way to South Plaza and UMKC before than it does now. It feels like I could actually get somewhere. Before, it felt like I could go, like, a stretch, right? I could get from Crossroads to, like, Union Station. It didn't feel like I could get it, you know, like, I know I could take it further up Main. It just didn't feel like you could get very far.
Yeah, I don't know how often I'll use it. I'll try it one time for a Current game and see if it makes sense versus just parking. But that's mainly because of where I live in town and everything. But some people will find it more useful.
Would you be tempted for the
Current one? That's what I said. I'll try it for a KC Current to see if it makes sense time-wise. My only concern with it, by the time I drive to the Plaza and I park and I get on it and I wait for the line or whatever after the game, how much longer is it going to take me to go that method versus parking? Now, there's a financial difference, of course, too, but, like, you got to balance that out, time versus money, right? But I don't know, like, if you're telling me it's going to take me an extra hour to get home by taking the streetcar versus just getting in my car, then I'm not going to do that.
I think the final stop's right by a pizza place. You can get some food. It's by Pizza 51. It's good pizza.
There's some sort of utopian society where Gold can just walk out of his front door, hop on a streetcar, and just go to wherever he wants to go, and it works.
I like when I go to other cities and there's reliable public transit. I very much enjoy it. Like, when I go to San Francisco, the others, and you can just take the cable car to, like,
the dream
eight
is,
different parts of the city. It's amazing.
Yeah, the dream one day is, even if you live out south, that you can just take a rail to the airport. It'd be amazing. It's never going to happen in my lifetime, I don't think. But cost doesn't make sense for them to do it, I don't think. So
follow-up. So the rail goes all the way out to Johnson County. It goes to 119th, right? Major part of
okay.
it. And would you be likely to take it? Let's say you're like, oh, hey, let's get some dinner tonight. More likely to get dinner on the Plaza? If it's a place you can take the rail all
just
the way
jump on
to
the streetcar, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think so.
Plus it's an experience.
The cost to pull something like that is just not, I don't think is, like, worth it. The financial cost, think about this quote unquote small extension that they added to from UMKC, the Plaza, and everything. Mm-hmm.
It goes to UMKC. You can try to deny it all you want.
It does go to UMKC.
That's
but
where it stops.
Most people are not saying, man, I can take it to UMKC now. They're thinking I can take it to the Plaza now. But whatever. All jokes aside with that. Think about the cost this extension was. Like, so acting like an extension for, to, you know, out in southern Johnson County to downtown, the cost of that would be just absolutely outrageous.
And you need multiple municipalities and multiple states.
It's not happening.
There's just a lot of other things that go in there, you know?
Someone says, I'd rather than worry about picking up my recycling that hasn't been picked up in 2 months than the street car. That's from the 816.
Man, you haven't gotten your recycling picked up in 2 months?
I'm assuming you've called, right? Checked in on that thing?
I hope so, man.
Yeah. Someone says, Gold, it's going to take you more than an hour to park at the Plaza, get on a streetcar, and get to the current game. Yeah, see, if that's the case, then I don't think it's going to be worth it for me.
It depends on the convenience of the, I want to have a couple of beers, and that just gives me, like, I don't mind the slower transportation sometime if it's a part of my entertainment.
But if the game gets over at 9:30.
It takes me 10 years to leave Arrowhead, but I can't leave the KC Current in 2 hours.
But if the game ends at 9:30 and it takes, and this is, I have no idea if this is how long it takes, but let's just say it took me till 11 to get to the Plaza on the streetcar, it's not worth it. That's a terrible idea. I don't know if that's how long it's going to take. I hope not. I can't wait to try it out for a game next year, or maybe by the end of this year.
I get it. It feels sporting event specific, but it's like, when I leave Arrowhead, I don't leave Arrowhead Stadium until 11 o'clock. And so, like, if it takes me a little bit longer after a sporting event to get home, I think maybe it's still worth the like length of time versus, you know, having to.
But I'm saying an hour and a half. I'm saying just to get to my car at the Plaza, does it take me an hour? Like, at least you're right. At Arrowhead, it might take me an hour to get out of the parking lot. But I'm already like, I'm in my car. I'm already on my way home.
Yeah.
This is where we need bullet trains. You get from this. You get from spot A to B in 5 minutes. That's it.
I don't think we're getting those anytime soon.
I don't think so
either. Someone says, remember that funny idea someone wanted to do the gondolas or whatever? Gondolas or whatever? That whole
thing? Could you imagine just that would make you nervous as hell.
Heights?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would be nervous as hell.
Maybe the closed ones.
Yeah.
Wouldn't feel so bad.
You can take it from the current game to UMKC, enjoy the fight song. Yeah, that's what we were saying. Anyway, up next, we will get
Let's take the streetcar to a Ruse game this year. We'll all meet up. You'll have to go past.
It'll make no sense.
Are we actually going to go to a game this year?
For me, it'll make no sense.
Hold
on. Let me get this straight. I'm going to drive to the River Market to only get on the streetcar to then go down to UMKC.
Correct.
I'll pass on that. I will pass on that. I'll meet you there, though. All right. Up next, we will get to a fan club Friday here on the show. We'll talk more about what we saw at camp and one stat that tells us the story of the last 7 years in the NFL.